It's no longer, I don't know if I should say something because I don't want to hurt your feelings, to I'm going to say something and it better hurt your feelings. And so we double down and our spirit is harsh and our words are critical and condemning. And Paul makes it clear that he's speaking his words in from love. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another, build one another up. The idea of encouraging is that you speak, and think about that, encourage. You speak courage into someone else's life. You help them on this journey that we're all on, and you build them up. Ephesians 4:29 says, speak only what is helpful for building others up so that it may benefit those who listen. Speak only what is helpful according to their needs. It's specific to that person. And you're saying things that will build them up and not tear them down. Oftentimes, however, someone approaches us in these areas is exactly how we respond. Because we respond in kind. So that if someone's critical, we're critical in return. If someone's harsh, we're harsh. Someone attacks, we counterattack, or we become defensive. But if someone's vulnerable, if we're vulnerable when we go to them, if someone's humble and transparent, then we're humble and we can be transparent. If someone's soft-spoken, and we're much more likely to listen to somebody who's soft-spoken. We tend to mirror whatever the spirit is of the person who's speaking these words to us. Another question to ask is, what does my tone communicate? The way I'm saying this, what are they picking up from that? In Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, he talks about the first letter. He talks about the first letter that he wrote. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, he says, I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. Paul says, look, my spirit in this is in anguish. And he's writing these things with tears, and that's the spirit with which he's writing these things, with a heavy heart. He's not delighting in this. He's not having a good time. In Colossians 4:6, he says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. We're called to speak the truth in love. But as we do so, we do this with grace. That means we're not sitting from this seat of superiority where you know, we've got it all figured out. But rather there's humility where we understand our own brokenness. And we understand how God has rescued us. How others have helped us along the way. And we want to do that for somebody else as well. Not because we've judged them or condemned them, but because we care about them. We had a conversation in one of the Sunday school classes about judging. What is judging? We judge every single day. Every decision we make is a judgment. I don't like meat in my spaghetti sauce. I don't like Burger King. We make judgments all the time. It's all in how you judge and the standard you use to judge people and things. You have to have this commitment. You have to have this commitment to one another. The tone of our truth telling will either it either builds a bridge or it builds a wall. The spirit with which we say things either builds a bridge or builds a wall. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about some of the results that came from his words. He speaks the truth to this church. It wasn't easy for him. It was hard for them to hear. But here's what he says starting in verse 8. He says, and you can take this a whole lot of different ways. He says, I'm not sorry. I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you. Though I was sorry at first. In other words, it was hard for me to send this. I didn't want to send this because I knew it was going to be painful for you to hear it. It was hard for you to hear these words, and I hated to do that because of how it made you feel in that moment. And then he says in verse 9, now I am glad I sent it. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and to change your ways. In other words, I'm glad I had the hard conversation because I see the difference that it's made in your life. I'm glad someone had that hard conversation with me. There's too many instances to count. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, share them with y'all. But those times are all, and you can think of your own. Those times are, it's hard for you to sit there and listen to it. But later, it all bears fruit. And you can look back on your life and you can see these instances where people were put in your path that spoke some truth into your life. And now you're grateful for it. And you see that it was worth it. Or maybe not that it was worth it, but at least it was necessary. And so as a church, we want to be committed to this. The tendency is, especially in our Western culture and the church in America today, is that we don't want to say anything that offends anybody. We want every place to be a safe zone with trigger warnings and everything else. I sat with a group of pastors a while back and they were talking about, you know, confrontations they had in the church. And the question came up, how many people have walked out on your sermons? Because that's when you know you're really getting a response. And I said, I've been here 3.5 years and one person's walked out. Maybe they don't come to church anymore, but that's not the same as walking out, okay? Some people consider that failure. We don't want to run the risk that somebody is going to get upset by something we might say. And so we never step over the line. We know just how far I can go to and what I can say, and then I just back away from it. But listen, to do that is the equivalence of spiritual malpractice. It doesn't work that way. We can't do that. It's like being injured in an accident. You got some broken bones, and you go to the hospital in the ER, and the doctors run some tests, and they do an MRI, and they see there's this broken bone, but they don't want to upset you. They don't want to stress you out because they want you to feel good about coming to the hospital and paying the money. And so they just decide to be real welcoming, and they're like, hey, we're glad you came. It's so good to see you. Hope you're doing good today. I know some things are rough right now, but it's going to get better. We're just really glad you're here. And they sit and they go back in their office and they say, well, let's load them up with some morphine and send them home. We don't want them to feel bad. We'll just do that. It's easier for everybody. And that's what the church often does. The approach of the church, we do it here. We're not immune to this. The approach here, we're so glad to see you. We're really glad you came. We don't want you to feel uncomfortable. We're not going to show you these x-rays that talk about your brokenness, and because that's not going to make you feel good about you, and it's not going to make you feel good about us. So here's some morphine, and we'll see you next week. And we send people out. And that's not loving, that's malpractice. So as a church, we've got to be committed to doing this, and it's not just us being committed to it as we preach and as we teach God's word. That's certainly required, but it's being willing to sit down with each other as brothers and sisters and speaking truth to one another in love. Now, not everybody can do this. We talked about accountability partners earlier in Sunday school. Not everybody can be an accountability partner to everybody, okay? I'm not going to be an accountability partner to Ray or to Kay, okay? You can't assign accountability. You know, in school you count off and all the ones went together. You count off by twos and all the ones went together and the twos went together. We can do accountability partners like that, but it lasts about 30 seconds. No. So it has to be a mutual thing. That's the only way that really works. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 18. It's where you go to a person individually. And what we tend to do is something completely different. People talk to me or they send me an email or a text and say, hey, can you preach on this? And this always scares me because sometimes I'll ask people, is there something you want to hear? You know, is there a sermon you want to hear? Some part of scripture you want to hear, or a class we'll talk about, you know, pick a scripture and we'll talk about it. Usually when people send me a text or an email, or they talk to me and they say, you need to preach on this, it's because they have you in mind. Because this is what you need to hear. This is, in other words, it's that they have this area in their life they need to fix, and this is how we're going to fix them. I had a woman when I was preaching over in I can't remember the town I preached in. It's that way. I can't remember it. It was a Swedish Baptist, so who knows? She was like, she came in and she's like, I need you to talk to somebody. You can just do a sermon. And when you preach on this, and you preach on this one part, I want you to look right at them. Okay. And I didn't look at the person. I wasn't going to do that. But as I started preaching on this, they got up and they walked out into the hallway. No. They don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear that, the stuff that really gets to them. They don't want to hear that. People aren't going to just. Here's the thing: if you have that thing that you want to send me a text or an email and tell me you need to preach on this to get it across, aren't you sitting next to them? Aren't you sitting out there with them? If you know this is wrong in their lives, it's going to be more coming from you. Too many times we neglect what God has called us to do. And I get it. There is this tendency to kind of come in and you don't want to have to commit yourself to anything, or especially to this type of thing. It's easier just to let things go, but that's not how God designed this place to work. God has established a structure within the church, and we're supposed to submit ourselves to that structure. We're to submit ourselves to one another in accountability. If we're going to grow to be more like Christ, then we need each other on that journey together, speaking truth to each other in love. So we want to do this for each other. And if you don't have this in your life, you really need this in your life. You need to find this person that you'll accept this from. That's part of God's design here for the church family. We want to be a place where truth is spoken, even if it's not comfortable. So we're talking about the truth when it comes to sin and when it comes to salvation, when it comes to heaven, it comes to hell, when it comes to Christ and to Satan. We'll speak what the Bible says is true. And sometimes you won't like it. It'll make you uncomfortable. And you might wish we could just say, hey, we're so glad you're here. But listen, I love you and I love this church too much to let that continue. So let's, as we finish, let's focus on allowing God to help us with this as a church family so that we can grow closer together with each other and with Him. And we can grow to be more like our Savior and speak to each other, even the hard parts, with love, because we care about each other. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we're reminded repeatedly what you've done for us. Bring light into our lives, truth into our lives. And too often we neglect the fact that you called us to do the same thing for each other. To speak words of encouragement and reinforcement. To speak truth when it's ugly. To do the things that are uncomfortable because they're necessary. Not because it makes us feel better, but because it's the best thing for the person we're talking to. So Lord, we just ask for for an open heart to see these, to see those instances where we can be, where we can speak your truth into their lives. Or where we know we can see the person that they would take that from and have that sense of discernment when it's not us that need to say it, but it needs to come from somewhere else. You called us to be your body and to be accountable to each other. And we ask for a changed spirit, a changed heart, that we can do that for each other. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.